Man, I had the biggest nightmare this week I've had in years. I dreamed that the lesson today was on patience. And I woke up early in the morning and I said, oh, that can't be. So I ran and looked at the quarterly and it said, Joy, Chapter 2. Well, what's your definition of patience?
What's the Bible's definition of patience in the lesson? It's different than what we think of patience.
Going to get to that about 10:42.
Can we give the opposite of it?
We can. that's funny. Yeah, I have a guy I worked with I've known for 20 years, and I told him to this week, he always kind of asks, are you teaching? And I said, yeah. And he says, what's it on? He says, I said, well, it's on patience this week. And he says, man, I have hardly any patience. You have none. So, you know, I've really had trouble with this lesson. Obviously, I'm trying to figure out every way in the world that patience is not a real fruit. But what is patience to you all? What do you think of when you love, joy, peace, patience? Well, how does patience fit into all of this? So what do you, yes?
Well, I think of patience, it usually involves someone else being patient with someone else. So it involves thinking the other person. Okay. Having their understanding of why they to help or wait on them or whatever.
Okay. All right, so patience is putting up with somebody.
Slowness or whatever.
Okay.
One of my favorite sayings is, wisdom is the art of knowing what to overlook. And I think we could probably substitute patience in that. Patience would be the art of knowing what to overlook.
Okay. All right. Yes.
I guess the thing that more than anything is when someone says, thank you for your patience, you know, you really didn't intend to be patient anyway.
Okay.
This is sarcastic.
But patience can be when you keep doing something that, when it comes to Christ, for example, you get a lot of things in your way that you patiently continue to follow Christ or to look after things. Okay. And that are of a spiritual nature. I think that's patience.
Okay. So, yes.
I think Christ in His goodness knew that we would get discouraged because it seems like the promises of the Bible have gone through centuries and centuries and we're still waiting. Mm-hmm. So He tells us in Revelation to be patient.
Okay.
It's like if we need to endure.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Well, when I saw it, I always thought that...
Trent doesn't know your first name, so share your first name with us.
Bob,
okay.
I thought patience was more of just waiting. When you hear patience, yeah, you wait.
Okay.
And then when I was reading in the lesson, patience is more than just waiting. It's how you wait.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to that.
Patience is realizing that God is working as hard on someone else as He is on you.
Okay. I like that. Yes, ma'am?
I think patience is having an inner calm amidst turmoil.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am?
I just want to say I had an experience this week. I work in the medical field in the hospital, mm-hmm. And I had a patient. When I walked in his room, he told me to get out of his room. To me, that was patience because I feel so small. But you know what? I did exactly what he told me. And then I had to go back to that room again on another occasion. It wasn't my patient, but in the hospital, every patient that's there is your patient.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a privilege to go back to his room again, and he was real with me again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I call it patience.
Okay.
God used me.
Okay. All right. I think that's very valid. Who else?
I read someplace that God is never too early or too late. Always arrives on time.
Okay.
But we don't know that.
Okay. So when I say to God, I'm impatient, I'm supposed to wait.
You prayed for patience here, and I want it now.
Okay. Is patience weakness?
No.
You sure?
Yes,
sir. Positive?
Positive.
Okay. Yes.
I think we all feel that God has a plan. He had a plan before He ever created us. And patience is waiting on God to show us and to teach us about His plan. Too often we try to put it into our plan. Mm-hmm. And our plan may be totally different than it usually is, totally different than God's plan.
Okay.
So patience is all waiting on God to teach us His plan.
Trent.
Patience is not a weakness, but inaction sometimes what's the word I'm looking for?
Confused.
It could be the same thing as patience.
Okay.
Inaction can be weakness.
So patience could be conceived as a weakness. Is that a fair statement?
In man's eye, it could be. In the worldly realm, it could be.
Okay.
I think sometimes if you think of it as, I don't think of it as a weakness, because I think if you think of it as a weakness, it becomes selfish. It becomes, I want it my way, my time, right now, and I refuse to wait on God who already has it ordained when this thing is supposed to happen.
Okay. Is impatience a sin then? Pardon?
I was reading about God being impatient. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Oh, we're going to come to that one. Hold that one. Hold that one. Hold that one.
Yeah.
We're coming to that one. I'm just muddling through all of this to get to that one. Is impatience a sin?
No.
No.
It's
part of my nature.
Well, I think it could be a sin if it's based upon our own egocentric way of looking at it, and therefore we're saying it has to be this particular way, and when we do that, we're then taking the position of God.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I'm going to share a true story. I only share true stories. This probably embarrassed Sue, but it certainly will embarrass me. Last Wednesday, we're on our way to El Arroyo. And Sue makes a comment very nicely, and I go on a, how long of a tirade?
Has it ended?
So I immediately go on a tirade, and we end up almost to El Arroyo. And I say, I don't want to eat there. Turn hop back. We're going home. And we went home and end up, my blood sugar got up. My heart got beaten. Didn't feel good. She's crying. Who suffered in that?
Both of us.
Big time. Now do you see why I struggle with this lesson? See? So I had to do some analyzing. Is impatience a sin? No, I don't think so. I think the problem with not having patience is that you suffer a tremendous problem when you are impatient.
Feelings are never a sin.
Yeah. God doesn't have to put down in His book, this is a sin. He says that we should be patient for lots of reasons. One thing, it makes our relationship with people here a lot better. Impatience is not a sin God marks down in a book. Impatience is suffering consequences of whatever that act is. So, My question for myself and others is, how do you acquire patience?
Patiently wait for it.
Pardon?
Patiently wait for it.
Yeah. That makes some sense to me. How do you acquire patience?
I thought it was a gift, yeah.
Gift?
Yeah, well, that's what the Bible said. Yeah.
Okay, well, where was I when it was handed out?
I think maybe you have to practice it a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
Different situations that come up, you just try to handle them better each time.
Okay. So, shall I wear a little wristband that when Sue said what she said, then I look at my wristband and say, count to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and not react? Is that the way you acquire patience?
That's tolerance.
What was the definition again?
Pardon me?
What was the definition?
Definition of what?
Patience.
Why, we're still working on that. Tolerance?
That's tolerance.
That's not acquiring patience?
No.
Well, then how do you acquire it?
Genetics, I think.
Leroy.
I think patience is impatience is a result of selfishness. Self comes first, and that makes us impatient.
Did you just hear the story I told Leroy? Well, hey, that's 3% more than some of them in here. So you think that impatience is a form of selfishness?
Yes. And that's what I was about to say when you said about patience. In order to acquire, you said, how do you acquire it? You have to really put self aside. Because it has a lot to do with...
Who agrees with that? Okay. Well, then if patience is a sign of selfishness, then how do you get to a point where you're not selfish? Yes, ma'am.
The same way you get to the point of every other one of the fruits of the Spirit, it's by spending time with Jesus every day.
Okay.
Recognizing it. Wanting to change it.
Okay.
We can't do anything on our own. It's only by Jesus infused in us.
Okay.
Accepting Christ, emptying our cup of all that selfishness that we fill it up with, and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill it up with the fruit that we're learning about.
Okay.
I think patience really has a lot to do with the way we're raised and our genetic makeup. Because I see families the whole family's impatient. And other families, they're forgiving and long-suffering and patient. I think a lot of that has to do with the way we're raised and our own makeup, but it's still a fruit of the Spirit.
Okay. I saw a hand over here.
I guess looking at the lesson, one of the things that intrigued me is when it says learning patience. And it's almost how do you be patient by trying to be patient? I'm trying to be patient. That's focusing on yourself.
Certainly a good dilemma.
Watching Doug Batchelor this morning in his presentation on patience. And part of it is our society. You know, there was a time when you would write a letter, he said you would write a letter to somebody in Europe, and it would go on a boat, and many, many months later, they might get the letter and read the piece of information. We thought we'd gotten lightning fast when they went to the Pony Express in getting information around. And we came up with this thing called email that we could send around, and we call regular mail snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a matter of, well, do I have fiber optic or do I have the slow email? So it's got to be fast. It's got to be quick. We want to do it right now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with the kind of email that we have now, the fiber optics and all this stuff, I can waste 3 hours a day sitting there talking to my friends on Facebook and all these kinds of things. But if we can't do that, we get upset. We don't have patience.
Okay. Uh-huh. What do you think the biblical definition of patience is?
is doing God's ministries and keeping on the way you're doing it. That's patience.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't get impatient because everybody doesn't invite you in. You patiently wait until you get an invitation and you go and make a presentation on knowing God and the names of God and the different things you do. That's patience.
Endurance.
Okay. Absolutely. One of the first minor, there's a major and a minor definition. Minor definition of the word. If I'd had a good Greek teacher, I would have probably been able to tell you exactly how to pronounce the long Greek word, but I didn't, so I just still suffer. The minor definition of the word for patience is endurance. There's a power to understand endurance. There was an old saying in the time that this was written of the Roman army. The Roman army might lose a battle, it might lose a war, but it will endure and win the big one. And so in the context when they wrote about this patience was the word endure. Now, if patience is enduring, how do we put that in the Christian's life?
I was reading in the review last night about a group of Waldensians that have moved from northern Italy to North Carolina. And when you read their history, they endured. They suffered greatly, but they endured. And they spread the gospel of righteousness. Like they were the first ones that did that.
Not mm-hmm. Okay.
Never gave up.
What does the word endure in the Christian's life mean then?
To stand true.
Stand true for what?
Stand true for the principles that God has given to us, regardless of what happens around us.
Okay. And what if all kinds of problems are being heaped upon you? Okay. So Sue was doing me a favor then Wednesday.
No, you were doing Sue a favor. I don't know. I mean, she had to develop a lot of patience.
Hey, Ernie.
Yes.
Christ told us that it wasn't going to be easy.
Absolutely.
You know, so we have to trust that. I mean, those are days. There are days we have just everything flows in harmony and it's wonderful. But the truth is, it's a battle. You know, Satan really desires to take all of us, take all of our focus away from Jesus Christ. Christ told us that this was going to happen.
Okay.
So we're not surprised.
So what keeps you enduring?
The promises of Jesus. This is not the end. Eternity is in heaven with Christ. So until I get there, I'm going to have to endure.
Mm-hmm. What keeps you all enduring? The hope for things to come. What does that mean?
Pretty much like Janet was saying, there are things that we look forward to, we're working towards, mass convention.
Okay. If you have that relationship with Christ and you cling to His promises, and the prize is to spend eternity with Him, the sadness is when you do not use that gift of patience, that fruit of patience. It does not take your eye off the prize eternally, because I had a good talk with Sue and I had a good talk with God about that. But what happened was, in this particular situation, it certainly didn't make our life any good for about 24 hours. And that's where the loss came. The endurance is not if you win every battle. The endurance is not if you win every war. The endurance, the patience comes when you understand, because of your relationship with God, that there is an ultimate end where He will bring you home and spend eternity. That's the first definition, the minor one. The major one is a very interesting one. In the Greek, they loved word pictures. And the word picture for patience is when you have power and you choose not to use it. Do you get that picture? When you have power and you choose not to use it. And here's the word picture. And we've all seen this. You ever seen a big dog and a little puppy? And the little puppy's biting the big dog on the feet, jumping on him, yipping at him, irritating him. And the big dog, who could snap that little dog up in a second, just sits there and puts up with it. He has the power to crush any time he wants. He puts up with it. So Wednesday night, I decided to use power. And I was very effective. Did no good. Did no good. You see, patience is when you come across the circumstances. You have the big picture in mind. You have that love of God. Notice the things that you got to have in order before you get to patience. Love. Amen. Joy. Peace. Then patience falls in there. This lady walked into a hospital room, was highly insulted, had all the power that she wanted, yet she didn't use it. You see, that's impatient. That's patience. Now I got the big question of the day. Is God impatient? Because if He is, then I'm a little closer to Him than I thought I was.
He's ultimately got the most power.
Absolutely. Now, always go right by the quarterly. You all know I do. So somebody open up the quarterly to Wednesday. Got it open. Go down to the first paragraph. What does the heading say for Wednesday?
Patience has
its limits.
Patience. Pardon? Wednesday. I got two answers, so somebody's...
Patience has its limits?
Yeah. Okay.
It has its limits.
All right. Eloise, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Patience has what?
Its limits.
Well, is that true?
Absolutely.
It
definitely does for most of us.
All right, read the paragraph, Eloise, right under the last question.
It might be argued that inasmuch as God ran out of patience, this gives us permission to do the same.
Keep going.
But when we study the history of God's long suffering, it becomes evident that His patience was not for a day, a week, or even a year. Often generations would pass before His long-suffering would be exhausted, which, of course, is not an option open to us.
What do you do with that one? Let me get this right.
It's a God-only option.
Let me get this right. Patience is defined by length of time. So God was patient for a day, I was patient for 15 seconds. God was patient by a year. God was patient by a generation. God was patient by many generations. And then His patience ran out. Is there any other way, and I'm not picking on the quarterly at all, I'm just defining what I think is a fair question. Is there any other way than to define that paragraph that way? Yes?
I don't think His patience wore out. I think God's always ever patient, but I think there came a time for action.
Read it again.
The whole thing? Or just the one thing?
The whole thing.
Okay. It might be argued that inasmuch as God ran out of patience, this gives us permission to do the same. But when we study the history of God's long suffering, it becomes evident that His patience was not for a day, a week, or even a year. Often generations would pass before His long suffering would be exhausted, which of course is not an option open to us.
How can I interpret that statement any different than to say God was patient, 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 but it came a time when patience was through and He had to act?
The comment says it could be argued. It could be argued the other way too.
Well, we're going to certainly argue it. Now, here's my dilemma. Come to you in a second, John. Appreciate it. Here's my dilemma. How long are we going to spend eternity with God?
Eternally.
Well, what if that patience only 6,000 years?
They were in trouble.
See, for eternity, we're going to be in a classroom with God. What if His patience is only 6,000 years and He finally says, "Man, when are you going to get it, Dr. Coy? I'm sick and tired of that question. I'm out of patience." John.
Well, I was just going to comment that He hasn't been out of patience yet.
How do you know?
We're here.
Absolutely. Did God run out of patience at the flood?
No.
120 years, He told him it was going to come.
Right. And then He ran out of patience?
No. It was the people's choice that they didn't get on the boat. Noah preached for 120 years as the boat was being built. And it's the same thing now. God does not run out of patience. And I had a problem when I read that this week, and I just kind of went over and in my mind I said, that's not true. But the truth is, it's our choices. It's when we choose to not follow God's plan.
God run out of patience at the end of the time when He comes? Throws up His hands and says, I've had it?
So what about with the children of Israel when He said...
Did God run out of patience with the children of Israel?
He said, I ought to kill them all. And Moses said, hey, wait a minute. You look bad to the other people.
What a tremendous time for Moses to come forth. God run out of patience in your life? How do you know? Maybe tomorrow He does.
Not that He run out of patience. He does. He gave us free will, choice. I mean, I can make a bad choice, and there are times when the Lord will definitely let the Holy Spirit step in and stop me from hurting myself. But then there are times when He just will just say, okay, her head is hard. The only way she's going to learn this lesson is to let me just let her have it. And He does.
That's what I did with Sue. Yes.
I think to a great extent the Lord protects us from the consequences of our actions. When occasionally He steps back and lets those consequences hit us, it doesn't mean He's run out of patience.
Exactly.
It just means
absolutely.
He's teaching us a lesson.
Amen.
Absolutely. Let's look at this flood situation. What was the nature of man at the flood?
Evil continually.
Pardon?
Evil continually.
Evil continually. We're told that they had so much evil at the time of the flood that we cannot even imagine what was going on. Pretty bad. So God sends a man. He always sends people. And the man works and builds a boat that had never been built and preaches like some old man nobody's ever preached for 120 years. And everybody looks and watches and listens. Some of those who were very faithful, such as Methuselah, they die. One of the things that men worshipped in those days was they worshipped nature, they worshipped animals, and they did all types of perverted things with animals. But it was a worship. And one day, these great minds of the world, they look and they see seven little lambs coming out of wherever seven little lambs come out of. And they walk up and go inside the boat. And they say, two little hogs come out, walk up, go inside a boat. They see giraffes, they see lions, they see birds fly going into the boat. If you worship nature, if you thought nature was a god, and you see an orderly process like this, what in the world would go through your mind?
God's getting on that boat.
I should follow them.
Would it at least, you think, get your attention?
Yes.
Would you at least think you would say, you know, there's something different here going on? And here they keep coming, and they come, and they come, and they come. Noah and his family make their last appeal. They get on the boat. The door's shut. Now here's the interesting thing to me. How long was it before something happened?
7 days.
7 days. Why?
Put them at ease. It's okay. I'm out here.
No, I think he opened the door and someone said, you know, I really want
to. We're going to come to that in a second. Why did he wait for 7 days?
Don't you think God was hoping he didn't have to bring the flood?
Absolutely.
If he had a whole bunch of people.
Absolutely.
Not willing to be
Absolutely.
That just shows what self-justification can do. All these people were.
For 7 days, those people sat there and had an opportunity to contemplate everything that had just happened. Here was a man sent by God who preached for 120 years. Here's a man that built a boat at that time, as far as we know, had never been built. They didn't have a reason for a boat. Here's the animals that they come in orderly. They watch all of this and they have 7 days to sit and contemplate and look at what went wrong. Now here's a question that always, in my opinion, tells you your picture of God. Let's say they went in on Sunday, and Wednesday a person says, you know what? I think I'm a fool for not at least wanting to get on the boat because I probably have nothing but ridicule to lose. By the way, what was the spirituality of these great eight people on the boat? And so what if one of them on Wednesday went up and said, I would like to get on the boat? There's lots of people would say it's too late. I say God would have sent that angel in a second and opened up that door and said, welcome home. Come in with the rest of the eight sinners that we already have on board. To even imply that God's patience has an end to it is an absolutely, in my opinion, a horrific picture of what God is like.
Amen.
He never runs out of patience. And when those waters fail, and people were, all of a sudden, the consequences were there. Let me tell you what else fell. Tears. You didn't see them because they were mixed in the rain. Tears fell from the face of God. He never runs out of patience. Do you know how I know? He's still working in my life. You see, if there's a defining point where God runs out of patience, then why am I looking forward to tomorrow? Same thing at the end of time. God doesn't run out of patience. What does Revelation say? All the time they come and they say, this is it. This is it. Can't get any more wicked. Can't get anyone worse. And what happens? Hold on. Hold back. I think I have 30 more years of patience. Hold on. Don't ever have the idea it's okay for God to eventually run out of patience, but it's not okay for me. That does not make sense. In the crowning point, I've said it many times, but I must go over and over it again, because every knee from the time of creation to the end of time, from the time of the flood to the children of Israel, to the people at Ai, to the Israelites that went into captivity, through the people that crucified Jesus on a cross, to the people that martyred the apostles, to the people that killed the reformers and burned them at the stake, to people in our midst. Everyone will say, God, you never ran out of patience with me. I can see how you appealed and appealed and appealed and appealed and appealed, and I rejected. You are just. You are merciful.
Amen.
And then they bow. But the heart takes over. And the next thing we're told they say is, let's go kill all of those righteous people. And God turns to the universe. He does not say, I want the universe to understand that I am out of patience. He turns to the universe and says, is there anything else I can do? And the universe says, no, God. You did it all. We understand. And as the people meet, out of mercy, they meet the indestruction. God, in us, we cry. Because one of the most beautiful verses in Revelation says, then God Himself comes and wipes away our tears. Don't ever, ever think there's an end to the patience of God. So, where do I stand in my dilemma?
God sends guilt to us, I guess, now, rather than we feel guilty as we become impatient. Or...
sure.
I guess God's way of communicating that we're having too much fun.
No. God is doing everything He can to save us. Yes?
I think if we look at patience in the definition of a trusting endurance, then it helps me to see that God is getting me to a point of trusting Him and changing my attitude while I'm waiting in the patience that separates us from tolerance. And it gets me to the verse that says, let patience have its perfect work.
Absolutely.
The work of getting me to the point where I am trusting as I'm enduring.
Okay. Yes.
The thing that I'm learning out of this in my own walk is a thing that I fear more than anything is Rob Shepherd's heart.
That's right.
Because of my own perceptions, what I can do without him, that's what I tremble for.
Yes, absolutely. And sad to say, Brother Leroy's right. It is selfishness. Because as I re-examined, I was unhappy with little Susie because I thought she wasn't listening to me and I was going to be inconvenienced. So what did I learn from that? She forgave me. But then I go back to the source and say, Lord, the next time, help me.
Amen.
Be patient.
Amen.
I owe it to Sue. I owe it to myself. And I owe it to you to glorify you. After all, God, you are always patient.
Amen.
Father in heaven, some of these lessons are tough. Some of them hit home. But you said all along, as we go on our spiritual journey, sometimes I'm going to just comment on what you're doing. Let you figure it out. I'll be there to help you. And then as always, you hope that we come to the conclusion, Lord, we need you stronger in our life. And with your help, we can become more like you. Thank you for your patience at the flood, at the difficult times throughout the Bible, at the end of time, and the things that we are assured in eternity. We will spend time for eternally with a loving God, a God of joy, a God who gives us peace, and the most patient God that you are. For this we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.